Welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, we have live music for much of this hour. It's going to be coming from a young performer by the name of Michael Wu, who has already racked up at the ripe old age of, what, 15?
Yes.
Welcome to the midday, by the way.
Thank you so much for having me, Norman.
A number of substantial musical credits, including being a Final Forte 2017 finalist and also the winner of the 2015 Wisconsin Youth Piano Competition. That's part of the Piano Arts North American Piano Competition, and presented by the Milwaukee Symphony. And this summer, more recently, participated in the International Institute for Young Musicians in Lawrence, Kansas. And that's a lot of piano playing.
Yes, indeed.
Do you, you're from Sun Prairie.
Yes.
And you go to Sun Prairie High School?
Yes, indeed.
And so you'll be going into your junior year there?
Into my sophomore year.
Oh, your sophomore year, okay. Well, so much the more impressive then. And do you have pianists in your background?
Yes, I actually have a cousin. His name is Kelvin, and he also plays the piano very well. He's been a big inspiration throughout my childhood, just his ability to play so musically has always inspired me throughout my childhood, and it's pretty significant. So,
well, that's a very direct influence.
Yes, indeed.
And one, of course, is likely to continue, I would guess.
Of course.
Well, you have selected a wonderful program for today, for the midday, starting with Bach and something from the Well-Tempered Clavier, and it behooves us every now and then to explain what Bach meant by that title.
Well, the Well-Tempered Clavier consists of two books, and each of these books has 24 pairs of preludes and fugues in all the major and minor keys. By the clavier, he meant instruments like the piano, the harpsichord, the clavichord, but not excluding the organ. And Well-Tempered, the first part of that title, refers to the type of tuning system that was used at the time. It was used to refer to a process known as well temperament. And along with unequal temperament, these two concepts kind of combined to allow for each key to have its own character, its own unique style. And the piece that I'll be playing today, the Prelude and Fugue in D major from Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier Book 2, shows many traits of what was commonly thought of D major at the time. D major was associated with triumph, glory, and some pieces that only show this include Beethoven's Ode to Joy from his the last movement of his Ninth Symphony, and Handel's Messiah, Hallelujah Chorus.
That's true, because they start in D minor, but then they have this triumphant D major finale.
Of course.
In places, yeah.
Yes. And so as to how this relates to the Prelude and Fugue, the Prelude is very, as the overall D major theme goes, very energetic, I feel. It's very exuberant, almost ecstatic in a sense. And the Fugue, although it's more contemplative, it's more laid back, perhaps, there are still subtle glimpses of this victory in some of the cadences. So
here we go, the Prelude and Fugue in D from the Well-Tempered Clavier Book 2 by Johann Sebastian Bach, played by Michael Wu.
Thank you.
We've begun the midday today with the Prelude and Fugue in D from Book 2 of The Well-Tempered Clavier by Bach, and my guest, Michael Wu, is the pianist for the occasion. The difference between Bach and Schubert would be, understandably, rather extreme, given that they lived in such different times. Bach heavily influenced, I think, by church music, and Schubert, who knows, the songs of the time and the place, and his piano sonata number 13 actually strikes me as being almost like a conversation when it starts. You're almost in the middle of a conversation. It's so low-key.
Yes. The 13th piano sonata by Franz Schubert, it's actually referred to as the Little Sonata, and that is to differentiate it from the heftier 1828 sonata of the same key.
He wrote some long sonatas.
Yes, indeed, especially that hefty sonata, 40-some minutes.
Yeah.
But one thing that I find striking about this Little Sonata, so we speak, it's just its sense of innocence. It's almost as if Schubert were young and in love, and he was taking a walk in the Austrian countryside, which he quoted actually as, or he said as being very pretty, as unimaginably lovely. So I definitely am able to hear his description of this countryside in this music, and I hope you do too.
First movement of the piano sonata number 13 in A by Schubert. Thank you. First movement of the Schubert Piano Sonata, number 13 in A. That song, like Schubert, never far from most of the things he wrote, whatever the form they might take. Well, we have two more. And speaking of influences, Franz Liszt was a pianist, of course, heavily influenced by a violinist.
Yes. And that violinist's name is Paganini. And today I'll be performing, actually, the Liszt Paganini Etude number 2 from his 6 Grand Paganini Etudes. These set of etudes were actually a revision of an earlier set titled Transcendental Studies after Paganini. And about number 2 in particular, it has a very awkward, almost whimsical nature. Has many of these fast teasing runs, and although the piece is dubbed the octave etude because of the octave middle section, I feel that it's so much more. I feel that it's got all these emotions crammed in it, and just labeling it with octave doesn't properly describe everything in it. So
here it is, number 2 of those Paganini-inspired piano pieces by Franz Liszt, Paganini Etude number 2.
Yes, after the 17th Caprice.
Well, one great piano virtuoso, celebrating a violin virtuoso, Liszt's Paganini Etude No. 2 in E-flat, played by Michael Wu, live in our Buck studio today during the midday, and it must have been fun working that one up.
Yes, it was very fun, with all the runs, and yes, it was just very fun.
The level of virtuosity required by the Liszt is one thing. You know, you have to be fast, you have to be accurate, obviously, and,
yes,
and dynamic. The level of virtuosity required by the Bach that you started out with is, you know, a different kind of thing. But when you get to Debussy, it seems to me that it's really all about the subtlety, isn't it?
It is, truly. Debussy in his music, he has so many of these subtle harmonic, these harmonic subtleties, and a very distinct kind of sound that the pianist just needs to bring out, of course.
And, you know, that can be a hard thing to do. I mean, it's relatively easy to hit the notes, but to hit the notes in just the right way to bring
out
the colors that Debussy is so brilliant at expressing, especially when it comes to water.
Yes.
that's a different kind of virtuosity. And so you have one of Debussy's water pieces here, and it's a delicate kind of piece, but something that you have to make your own.
Yes, of course. It's the Reflet dans l'eau from Debussy's first book of images for piano. And I guess it's very, as the title suggests, Reflections in the Water. It's very active sometimes. Sometimes it's very quiet, but sometimes it's very active, just as if it were a surface of water. I think that not only are the reflections in the water portrayed, but also the motion of the water, as if a pebble may have dropped into the stream, or perhaps a huge stone in certain parts of this piece. So
here we go, Reflections in the Water by Debussy from book one of his Images.
Thank you.
Reflections in the Water from Book One of Images, or Image, by Claude Debussy, as performed in our Buck studio today by my guest, Michael Wu, who has already some particularly impressive accolades to his credit at the ripe old age of 15 and going into his sophomore year at Sun Prairie High School.
Yes.
In the fall. Still playing the clarinet?
Yes, I am, actually. I'm in my high school's wind ensemble, and it's very exciting. They're embarking on a trip to Carnegie next year, Carnegie Hall in New York, and it's very exciting. So,
well, we'll look forward to hearing how that works for you, and your next appearance on the Midday, too.
Yes, of course.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Norman.